QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. www.bbarc.org. Cool information, lots of good stuff. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Okay, my phone just locked, but for those interested in watching the space station early in the morning, we're going to have a 53-degree flyby at, I'm pulling it up, here it is, 5:06 a.m., it will last 4 minutes, coming in from the south-southwest, going to the east. So if you're an early bird, you can see the space station fly over.
Oh, very good information there, Jim, yeah. For those of you that get up that early, by the way, this is, as the sun keeps getting up earlier, seems like I have too, and I have no idea why. Any other announcements from the net, please come back to KF6Q. All right, a couple of announcements here. You'll notice that the repeater is a little bit different, brand new equipment up there. Got a couple of adjustments are going to be made and work out a couple of those bugs. But anyway, we do have a 440 repeater up and running. It is on a test pair. Basically, we are testing the range of the repeater, and this will not be our permanent frequency. So it's out there, it's basically up and running to find out range and stuff like that. So anyway, but the equipment's up and running. All right, well, the topic for tonight is pulled out of the June QST, and I didn't get mine in the mail. They are actually online. Basically a product review of a dual bander antenna, and pretty cool article there, so we'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, let's get our roster going here. Not sure if Mike's back. I don't think Mike's going to be with us this evening, but we'll give him a shout out there. WB6CLZ. Mike. Yeah, nothing heard from Mike. Everybody out there, just so you know, he is 64 years young and was out celebrating his birthday with a tour. Not sure where they went, but Mike and Cindy have had a pretty full day. I guess they just didn't quite make it back. Well, next I have KA6CIA George.
Good evening, Tom, KA6CIA.
And good evening, George. Hope you're staying cool down there, best you can down there in Lucerne. Let's see, next I have here is, moving down the list, KJ6HCS Mike. Yeah, I'll hear Mike out there this evening. How about WA6ITC Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod, and thanks once again for all the help up there on the hill this last Sunday of helping us get all that gear installed. Next, I have KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening. WK6FYL.
And good evening there, Mike. Good to have you out there. Anyway, next I have, and I know he's there, KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL.
Oh, Jim, please don't sound so depressed. I know, it's the work 20. The work QTH is getting you down. That's all right. Glad you could help us out this evening. Let's see, moving on down here. Next, I have KI6IQA-QA.
Sir, yes, sir. KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Thanks for being out there. Let's see if Steven's out there, K9AOG from Long Beach. Okay, I don't hear Steven out there yet. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GBL from Torrance.
Well, good evening there, Ron. And you know what? Are you going to be out there for the balance of the evening?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you have 440 capacity, you'd like to do a quick test if you want to, just get a hold of me after the net. Anyway, next on the list is AD6PL Harold.
Evening. Sounds like you got a Roger beep on there, AD6PL.
Yeah, it sure does. That's something that's in our new controller, and we're going to probably change that. Unfortunately, we have to go back up there and change it up there. So just please live with that for right now. Roger beep, yes. That's good definition there. All right, anyway, good to have you out there, Harold. Let's see here. Next I have on the list is KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom Lynette, KJ6PYV.
And good evening there, Dave. Thanks for being out there. Let's see if we got W6JLM and W6KMM. Judith and Ken.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone out there listening. This is W6JLM, and W6KMM is here as well. Everyone have a great night. We'll be listening.
All right, Judith and Ken, thanks for being out there and checking in with us this evening. How about K2BBL, Alan in Moonridge? All right, not hearing Alan out there. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Thanks for checking in from the lower desert out there. Next, we have a visitor in town. We have W6POO Chip.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. W6POO on an HT over here in Moon Ridge, as a matter of fact. Looking forward to the net.
And good evening there, Chip. And hitting the repeater rock solid, you could probably actually hit the repeater with a rock. Okay, yeah, probably the closest you've been in some time. Thanks for being out there, Chip. Next I have KD6LAN Bill.
Yeah, good evening, Tom and Annette, KD6LAN.
And good evening there, Bill. Thanks for being out there. Let's see if we have Ron out there, WA6HF. Nothing heard there. How about WA6DLB Donna? Nothing heard there. How about KJ6QYN Shelly? Nothing out there from Shelly. How about Rick in Q7RD?
Good evening, one and all, and Annette. Been a long time. Gonna be here monitoring. Good evening, one and all, and Q7RD. Rick in Cerritos.
And good evening there, Rick in Cerritos. And believe it or not, we call your name every Tuesday. And glad to hear you back out there. All right, moving on to page two here. I have AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, good Tom and Annette. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
Okay, Victor. Maybe we can chat after the net. You want to check out the 444 signal strength there from Santa Fe Springs. Next, I have KA6ROD Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Yeah, good evening there, Rod. Thanks for being out there and checking in. See if KB6LTY Christy is out there. And I haven't heard from her. How about W6JET, Rob?
Good evening to the net, W6JET.
And good evening there, Rob. Thanks for being out there. Thanks for checking in. And I see we have Ray on echoing, so I'm going to give him just a little bit of room there. KJ6RAY, Ray on echoing.
Everybody, KJ6RAY, checking in.
Okay, Ray, glad to have you out there. And see, we also have a visitor out there, KI6FAW. Glad you can join us. Moving on down my list here. Let's see. Oh, you know what? That is the list. Okay. Anybody else out there? Oh, you know what? I know who I forgot. How about WA6MQF Bob, who's going to help us with our topic?
Roger, WA6MQF here in Downey. Over.
All right, Bob, sorry. Almost left you off the list there, by golly. That's not nice. All right, well, that's pretty much the list. Anybody else out there wants to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
TLT, Mobile Aid, Prado Dam.
All right, got a station out there from Prado Dam, and good to hear you out there. Anybody else?
BB6TBZ.
Hey, we got a stranger out there from Shea Meadows. Hey, Ray, how you doing? Thanks for checking in. Anybody else? All right, well, I think that's pretty much got all our check-ins. I want to appreciate everybody who's visiting us this evening. Well, basically, don't have Mike out there this evening, so I'm going to go over here to Jim first. And Jim, this is kind of one of the ones you selected here. We got a pretty cool article here, and I know that I have not received the June issue, so we're kind of doing this off the online edition. And it's pretty neat article here. Steve Ford, who we have done a lot of his articles here on Tech Tuesday, and he's got a neat review here of Elk Antennas. That's a company of a 2 meter 440 L5 is what it's called. It's a dual band log periodic. Now, okay, I have a dual band 2 meter 440, but this is a log periodic. Well, anyway, first there, Jim, you want to give us a little background on this?
Okay, Tom, and for those of you who do not have access to the QST magazine, you can look at this antenna on the manufacturer's website. It's Elk Antennas, ELKANTENNAS.com. They don't have a lot. They've got basically three antennas. When you get to that page, the very first one, 2M/445 element, 2M/440 L5. This antenna is the picture that I got off of the QST magazine. For some reason, looks different than the picture on the manufacturer's site. And what I'm mentioning, if those of you that are looking, it has the two sets of radials, or the radiators, on a left side and a right side, but they're on their own independent boom. They're intertied. So one side is the return of the coax, and the other side is the center post of the coax. And in the picture, they're in different orders. But on the manufacturer's website, they're completely aligned with each other. So don't know what to make of that. But, Tom, maybe you can explain why they've got them polarized like that.
Oh, okay, Jim. And essentially, I think the picture is probably a little deceiving. Log periodics, basically, I think we've all seen a Yagi. And a Yagi, we've got a one element in the back as a reflector, And as we move forward, we get to the actual one doing the work, the driven element, basically, and that's the one where we usually tie in our coax. And then, depending on how big the antenna is or how many elements, we just start adding directors out on the front. Typically, your directors are simply shorted to the boom. The driven might be, depending on the feed mechanism. But the log periodic is a little bit different. With the log periodic, every element, every set, is a dipole, but each one is tuned to a different frequency. So what you end up doing is you're getting a little bit of a better span of frequency, what we call the bandwidth. The log periodic is essentially designed for bandwidth increasement, not gain. And I'm going to hand that over to Bob real quick. And Bob, you want to enhance that basic definition a little bit. WA6MQF, this is from, take it over.
Roger. WA6, Mike Queen Fox here. Okay, a bit of a description. All right, if you think of a dipole with a piece of coax coming up and the center of the coax goes to one side of the dipole element and the ground of the coax goes to the other side of the dipole element, now you've got just a simple dipole. If you take another dipole and make it a little bit longer or a little bit shorter, but you reverse the side that the center conductor and the ground cable are connected to, and then we walk towards this higher frequency end. And then you put another dipole next to that guy, and you reverse the coax again. So now the center conductor is on the other side, and the ground the same as the first one we talked about. So what you do is you just flip-flop the drives all the way down. The reason they use two booms is because you can hook the ground shield to one of the two booms, and that has half the elements that alternate every other side. Then the other boom, which is insulated, takes the center conductor and alternates its elements every other side. I have a commercially made log periodic that's very wideband. It goes from 50 megahertz to 1300 megahertz. Set, and it has 21 elements, and they claim the factory of 10 dB of gain. And I've used this mainly on 6 meters, and I've worked now 50 states on 6 meters. But the longest element is a typical dipole for 6 meters if you have a 6 meter beam. And then it has 22 elements, all getting longer, and the smallest elements, maybe a half inch or so up at the other end of the two booms. Reset. The feed, because you've got all these dipoles averaging, comes out pretty close to 50 ohms, and so my antenna, there's no matching on it. I have a little 6-meter antenna tuner to get absolutely zero reflected power, but with the antenna tuner out, I still have an SWR of less than 2 to 1. And it covers, log periodic. It's also called an LPDA, log periodic dipole array, which actually describes what the antenna is better. And the word log is because it isn't linear math like you have in a normal Yagi. Reset. Get excited about this stuff and I forget the time. It's logarithmic, and the lengths of the elements go to a fairly complex formula, and the spacing between them changes as you move down, in my case, down the antenna towards the high frequency end. But I got really lucky and found this in a flea market yard sale. And I've never been sorry that I had to clean it up and put it on the air. Back to you, Tom. WA6MQF.
Well, Bob, that's a very good description of that. And, of course, that's a great antenna you have. And just as a little note here, I did a lot of research on log periodic some time back. Essentially, what we have going, we have the boom, the main boom, which is what we any antenna would have. And then these elements are actually connected to a a transmission line, you know, and you've got two wires or two rods or two ever, if you want to call them booms, fine. They're generally much smaller, and these two, basically these two will go down the antenna. Now, if you ever had an old TV antenna, a big one, and you ever looked at that, now that was a log periodic also, but what they did is they would actually, between the elements, the transmission line would crisscross. You'd see them cross across, then they go to the next element, and then they crisscross again. Well, another way of doing exactly the same thing is simply by alternating the elements, whether which one they're hooked to, and of course by stacking these and putting them on there, you get the same effect as that crisscross without crisscrossing, and you have a much more physically stable antenna. Let me reset. Another thing too, why do they crisscross? Well, it's for what we call phasing, and without getting too deep into that, essentially, if you did not crisscross, you would probably have to have about twice the distance between the next set of elements. And to shorten the antenna up by crisscrossing the feed, and they get the 180-degree phasing there, and essentially allows the thing to be shortened up. So it's basically to keep it physically small is why that's done. But either way, whatever it is, it's a pretty cool antenna. You're not getting a lot of gain on one frequency, but you're getting a little bit of gain on many, many frequencies. Jim, any other information about this is pretty cool about the company or its products.
Well, Tom, there's not much about them. I didn't do a whole lot of reading in their website. They have one other interesting, they have a 220 antenna, 6 element, and a 8 element 440 only. So this is the only dual bander they have. And Bob, thanks for describing the alternating antennas, because that photo is kind of an optical illusion. That explains why they look like it's an azimuth thing while they're off-center. The article says that there's a total phase shift of about 360 degrees between the elements, and I don't know if that paragraph 3, if you're reading it, reads correctly, because 360 degrees is right back to the beginning. So that threw me off. I don't know if you can elaborate on that, but as far as the manufacturer, it's a very simple website, so I did not do a whole lot of digging. But they are in Walnut Creek, California, not far away.
Walnut Creek is, Walnut's close by. Walnut Creek, I think that's up north someplace. But anyway, very good thing here. They fed this from the front, but actually that dual transmission line going down there, you can actually feed that any point. Doesn't matter if you feed it up front, in the back, in the middle, it does not matter. I think they're feeding this on the front to get it physically away from the operator. This is a handheld log periodic, and being as such, to keep some of the interaction away from the feed line, they've got that out front. Might be a little awkward to use, but not all that bad. Let me reset. And Jim, that 360 degrees phase rotation, which is when that takes place, is called the active region. Well, you have to understand a little bit about antennas and how they operate, and we're going to do a real basic explanation of Yagi's for those of out there. We're not going to get into the math and all the textbook stuff about this. We're going to give a little example tonight of why does a Yagi work, why is it directional, and why does it have all that metal out front, and why if we put more metal out front it gets more gain, and why does it point that way and not pick up stuff from the side? Let me reset. And that's a lot of whys. So, I think we've all dealt with water use as an explanation of electricity. Well, we're going to get into RF radio waves, the good old radio waves out there. Radio waves are basically electromagnetic radiation, and that's it. That's all we're going to talk about with that part. But if you didn't have radio waves, let's say if we had sound waves. Let's say we're going to make a sound wave Yagi. Let me reset. If we were going to have a sound wave Yagi and we wanted to point it at one direction and have it operate at, say, a middle C, let's just say the middle C, musical C, whatever that note would be, and we want it to point this thing and really make it stand out when it's aimed at something that's talking out there at middle C. Well, let's start out with actually how the antenna works. Let's take a tuning fork. We're going to take multiple tuning forks, and we're going to take these tuning forks that are all tuned for that special middle C sound frequency. These are sound waves. And somewhere across the room, we're going to have a speaker or something, or there even another tuning fork that we can just bang a little thing on that thing and let it start to radiate. And as this sound starts to travel across the room towards us, we have this boom with all these tuning forks spread out at a specific distance between each one, but all in alignment. Let me reset. Well, the first thing that's going to happen is the sound is going to hit the first tuning fork, and because it's the same frequency, it's going to start to vibrate. As it vibrates, not only does the sound make it vibrate, but it starts to actually emit sound. And as it's emitting sound in synchronization with this sound wave, it passes it along in all directions. Now, the sound reaching the second tuning fork, because it's a specific distance away, we'll just call it 360 degrees of phase shift, because basically now it's all in synchronous with the first one. Let me reset. So now we have the original sound and the sound from the second tuning fork hitting, or the first tuning fork hitting the second one. This is getting confusing, I know. But anyway, as it goes on down the line, each one starts to radiate and actually add to the strength of that signal because they are all in alignment. If the signal or the sound came from the side, you don't have that because they start to cancel each other or get out of phase shift. And this is basically why a Yagi is directional in one direction, because they start to synchronize, they radiate, they re-radiate the signal, and because they're spaced just right, the distance, then they tend to add to as the signal gets back to the end where we have the pickup dipole, and there you are. Bob, anything to add to that? Boy, I don't know if I did that right.
KF6QWA6MQF. Well, it made sense to me. The one thing to remember is, and everybody's seen what a Yagi looks like, is all the elements are in the same plane. So they add in that plane. They don't add 45 degrees up and down. That's why when you build an antenna, you want to put all your elements in the same alignment to maximize the additive function of the gain. And that's about it, Tom. They just add, they ring, if you will, and they add their energy to the energy that was coming by from the element behind it, and the element behind it, and the element behind that. And the reflector just reflects and bounces the signal forward. And each one of them just adds to the element, to the energy coming over its shoulder from the guy behind him. That's it, Tom. Back to you.
Yeah, KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday in the group. And essentially the reflector, the very back one, is longer. It's actually meant to do just that. And also the first few directors away from the main element are a little bit less in size. And I believe, and without getting into the very hardcore math on that, essentially visualize that as allowing the original waves to come over the top and basically still keep moving forward into the, or moving towards the antenna. So that's the real simple explanation, and I think it'll work for most of us. But anyway, that's why the Yagi will work in that one direction. It's still picking up signals from the side, but as they hit these other director radiators, they start to resonate too, and of course those signals re-radiated start to cancel out the original signal. So that is why it's directional, and there you have it. Jim, anything else to add to that? Back to you from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, in the group.
Okay, the light bulb came on. believe it or not. I hope there's not a whole bunch of people there going, you guys are crazy, because I don't understand it. I finally understand why the every other element's opposed, because they're already 180 degrees out of phase, so it electrically, so if you mechanically put them another 180 degrees out of phase, they're back in phase. Ooh, the light bulb came on. So that's pretty darn cool. And this antenna, I'm used to seeing like for 440 and 2 meters, two different sets of lengths. And this one, one length of antennas work both bands. So maybe Bob or Tom, you can explain why that works. This is a very cool antenna, very simple. The price is seems a little steep for those who are not used to spending a lot of money, but for what it does, it's well worth it. It's easy to take apart and put together, so it's very portable.
Yeah, Jim, let me explain just a little bit about the two band thing. It's basically the elements, because there's a automatic relationship between the 2 meter band and the 440 band. They're essentially, each element is a balance of being a radiator for 2 meters, or three times the 2 meters, triple, as we call it, harmonic of 2 meter, and that's the 440 band. So that's how it's picking up the 440 band. But with all that said, I want to make one quick thing here about building this kind of stuff. It's very cool. Let me reset. I wish Christy was with us tonight. Last year, about a year ago, even a little more than that, Christy and her husband Bill, from a Sebek article. This guy is very Silent Key now. Incredible journals from this guy. If you really want to learn everything and anything that's out there about antennas, you look up Sebek, and it's there. He's done it. He's been there. It's all there. So anyway, he had a very good Build It article about doing a log periodic for 2 meter that basically would go from 137 up to 170. Well, you got to be really careful when you build this stuff. Let me reset. And the one reason is that if you get off a little bit, if you're doing this homemade, these elements aren't cut right, or the right side and the left side pieces are cut different, you start really getting some problems there. And sometimes we think, well, you know, an eighth of an inch is not, it's close enough. Well, maybe it's not. And that little eighth of an inch is going to really not make it work as well. It'll work, but it's just not going to do as well. But with all that said and done, I think they did get their antenna to work. They had to just mess around with it a little bit. And with that, it's pretty neat. You don't get a lot of gain at one specific frequency like you do with the Yagi. You get it spread out over a wide range. Anyway, anything else to add there, Bob?
Let's see, KF6QWA6MQF. Having had actually the chance to see one in the flesh, they're not that hard to build. If you can come up with a lot of 3/16-inch aluminum tubing and a couple of aluminum channels, and you can put threads in the end of the tubing, you can build one. I was just looking. I have the legs, not the spacing, for all of the 22 elements in my antenna. And if I was ever decided I'd like another one, the antennas are this one's somewhat expensive. If you buy it from the manufacturer, depending on where you get it, it's $700 or $900. But there's probably only about $30 worth of aluminum in it if you want to take the time. But these are made very precision, and especially when you get up at my antenna, I was just looking at the spec, it goes 50 to 1300 megahertz, 21 elements, and SWR across that band is 2 to 1 or less. It's rated at 500 watts. The longest element is 9 feet, and it weighs 5 kilograms, anyway, has a 90 mile an hour wind survival, so it's pretty sturdy. But I'm a big fan. If I can get enough documentation, I'm happy cloning somebody else's. You know, they spent 2 months on the antenna range picking this up to get those numbers. Anyway, mine here, I was just looking at it. Front to back ratio is 15 dB, and that which is reasonable. A 3-element 6-meter beam only has about 7 or 8 dB of gain. And this, the one antenna I have, Tom's seen it, it's a bit smaller than a big TV antenna. KF6Q, WA6MQF.
And I was recently, I'd say this has got to be about 2 weeks ago, had a good chance to get back down to Orange County and stop off at my favorite place. And I'm receiving no money for this, by the way. But Shore Metals, which is down there, it's on Kramer, and it's just north of the 91 freeway and just south of Orangethorpe. Open until about noon on Saturday, and not sure their hours during the week. Very good metal supply yard, as there are many out there. But what's really cool about this place is their REM area. And currently $2.70 a pound for aluminum rim, which is probably brand new aluminum is going to cost you closer to $6 a pound, double that. So you can really get a lot of good stuff down there, and it may even be more than that. Well, most of this is 6163, 6165, something like that. Anyway, it's very, very common aluminum. They have tubing of various thicknesses and sizes, and a lot of these lengths are 12 feet. They're considered a rim because most aluminum stock comes 22 feet long. So anything that's cut, oh, that is a rim, and that's what they sell it for. Anyway, I'm going to ask if there's any questions or comments out there. We've had some pretty deep stuff and cool stuff this evening. Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, in the group.
KJ6PL.
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
If you want to build your own log periodic dipole array, get out your ARRL antenna book, and there's a little, they say 12 inches, but I recalculated because it didn't look right to me. It's 4 half elements on each beam. It's, you use a aluminum angle. With you make your own little nylon plastic spacers, whatever you need, and cut your elements and cut them in half, thread them, put a machine screw through each side where the element goes. They're offset slightly, and they claim 5.2 dBd gain on that, and I believe it because I built one and it's really great. But if you calculate it out, you come out with 13-inch beams on it. So if you cut them 12 inches on their word, then you're probably going to be trying to attach 2 half elements to thin air 86 mil. There's also a 5-band or a 3-band that you can build yourself. They give you all the math you need to calculate it out. And give that a try, 86
feel. Yeah, that's basically, you know, great stuff there. You know, you don't have to be, you don't have to have a machine shop or anything to do this stuff. A lot of it can be done with hand tools. And like I say, if you can get the material very cheap like that, I've got, I you know, for like $30 or $40, you can end up with enough to build like about half a dozen antennas, which when you boil it down to how much per antenna, that's very, very cheap. With that said, but look around. Also, always, you can always be a little creative. There's always a lot of these CB antenna whips that are still kicking around, a lot of CB stuff. CB is not as popular as it used to be, and there's a lot of stuff like that at yard sales and stuff. Well, CB, good materials. Some of that stuff is stainless steel, or it's aluminum or whatever it is, but you can get this stuff for really a song and a dance there. So anyway, thanks, Harold. Good information there. Anybody else? Any comments or questions or suggestions?
Hey, Tom, WA6HF.
And good evening there, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention circular polarized might be a good route for some of these folks. You can do single sideband, FM, and space work with it. So it's kind of a all-around antenna.
Oh, very cool, Ron. Yeah, I'm not sure when you joined us. We're kind of doing this evening. Pretty cool article from QST on log periodics. And this is actually a manufactured product we're looking at. But actually, log periodics, pretty cool. One thing, too, we did not mention, and one of the reasons you get pretty good gain with these, even though each set of dipoles is tuned for a separate frequency, with that said, you end up with just, even though it's off frequency, but you get a little bit of gain from each one as they resonate and re-radiate back. So, you know, Harold, I think that's where we're getting this 5 and 6 dB gain, which is cool, and, you know, it's all good, so with good stuff there. And Ron, thanks for that comment. Yeah, we'll get into the circular polarized or wagon wheel type, very cool for omnidirectional single sideband. We'll try to catch that in a little bit here also. Anybody else with comments or questions or suggestions? All right, anyway, pretty cool there. Like I say, I'm having to deal with this basically online issue of QST. I actually like the hard copy better. I keep trying to move around this article, and it's not like a PDF. I don't like it, but that's me. Hey, maybe I just got to get used to it. I don't know. Anyway, well, good deal. In closing, we'll hand it over to Bob real quick. Any comments for closing for tonight?
One comment here.
Go ahead, Harold.
For anybody that can get to it over near, I think it's over close to Fontana now, somewhere in that area, is Patton Steel. They used to carry a lot of stuff that no one else in this area carried, so if you're looking for, they're a little bit high, or they were when they were in Riverside. They had two stores, one over, I guess, where they're at now, and the one in Riverside, but they consolidated. It's supposed to be a lot larger, a lot better supply or assortment. Tools, metalworking tools, that kind of thing also. So you might want to take a look over there, 86 field.
And there's K6BB repeater, KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. Yeah, of course, besides Shore, which is actually way down in Orange County, that's kind of a drive. Yeah, there is a patent there. Actually, they're actually in the high desert now, too, in Hesperia. But they're also just west. They're on Mission, just off of Mission block, just west of Ontario Airport, the very end there. So, been there. There's a lot of good stuff there. And was that H&K Metals over there right next to Electronic Warehouse there on Main Street in Riverside. So a couple of good places around there. And they do have rims. I just like the rims that Shore has. They're big rims. A lot of good stuff there. So anyway, but that's all cool stuff. Yeah, and a lot of good suppliers out there. One more call for any comments. All right, Bob, W6MQF, anything else to add in closing?
KF6Q, WA6MQF. No, other than saying of all the antennas I fiddled around with, that because the construction is so simple, it's made out of a bunch of quarter wavelength pieces just fastened into two pieces that add sort of look like a 50-ohm ladder line. It's very easy to build, and you just need some sort of spacer between the two angles, and then build yourself some sort of a contraption to make a boom mount for it so you can put it on a mast, And then just be careful, you know, cut the antennas a 16th of an inch long and file them down to the exact length, the element pieces, and away you go. I love building antennas, though. KF6Q, WA6MQF.
You know, and a lot of this, too, you know, like you say, if you can cut them long and actually then adjust their length, it's really hard to actually test the stuff. Like I said, you really have to, you know, essentially hope that it's right. I mean, they are more difficult to calculate. You do the math like Harold did, make sure that it at least makes sense. And then with all that said and done with, you can actually, if you wanted to set up someplace and actually do some testing, and it'd be kind of cool. All depends on how precise you want to get it. Like I said, I think that for most of us, as long as the instructions are correct, you know, we can follow that. So, anyway, Jim just sent me a link, another very, very good link here on handheld homebrew 2-meter 77-meter log periodics on QRZ. So if you can do a search, do a search on QRZ.com. for the same topic, and probably will pop this article, so pretty cool. And some very good pictures and diagrams.
86 PL.
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
A couple of years ago, I looked up elk antennas, because I read a whole article somewhere about, I think they were originally made for this, something to do with space, but, you, before you order one, you want to check the price. The ones I looked at, anyway, because if you don't have a pocket full of money, well, you're not going to own an elk antenna, AD6PO.
And a very good point, and this is why we want to go buy our aluminum at $2.70 a pound. And trust me, for usually about $10 worth of aluminum, you've got enough there to build just about anything you want. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's always good. We always encourage people to get out there. Hey, and if it doesn't work, double check your stuff. I know we've had a couple people that are on here this evening listening that tried the first time they built an antenna. Yeah, it didn't work as perfect as it should have. But you know what? It did work. That's the main thing. And the second one they built came out looking like factory made. That's what's amazing. So, you know what? You got to get out there and get your feet wet, as they say. You'll never learn how to swim hanging out in the shallow end. Anyway, anything else to add, Jim? Back to you.
Well, Tom, you know what my first Yagi looks like. And it works. So, but yeah, this one I sent you off of QRZ uses square tube aluminum instead of round, which as we all found, the round is really difficult to work with when you want to drill in one spot, not have the bit move around on you. So I'm beginning to like this. So you might be able to talk me into visiting that aluminum stash that you either go down to Riverside to get or already have, and maybe we can make one of these up, because this looks really cool. And I now have a radio that works on both bands that this could work on. So moving forward, this is cool.
You know, and that's all, it's all good. And like I said, that you know, depends on what you're used to working with, whether it's square tube or round tube or whatever. And if you can't make it to one of these places, you know, you can still even go to like Home Depot or Lowe's, or if you're in Lucerne Valley, they have it at that the Triangle Market there. And a lot of places, good stocked do-it-yourselfers will, stores, and will have a lot of stuff like that of aluminum. They have a good supply up here in Big Bear also. And with that said, yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit more, but it's going to be way cheaper than buying that antenna. And I think, Jim, some of the stuff you had was salvage. I know that some of the stuff another guy out there used was store-bought. And it's still cheaper than buying the antenna, and it works great. And you have that satisfaction of saying, hey, I built this, and it works. And the second one, hey, I built this, and it works, and it even looks better. So anyway, all cool. And one last call for any comments or suggestions or whatever.
Oh, man.
Hey, Tom, WA6HF.
Okay, we'll take Harold first and then Ron. Go ahead, Harold.
Right, if you need to, if you're going to, I don't know if it would be worthwhile to buy the item or not, but I think I saw it at Harbor Freight. There's a gadget that you can buy that goes on your round tubing, and you can drill straight down at an angle, whatever you want. And it holds the tube right there where you want it, and get your drill bit centered right where you want that, and you just sit there and poke a hole in it, move it to where you want the next one poked, and try that one, AED6P on.
And you know what? If any place would have it, there you go, Harbor Freight. I think there's one down there in San Bernardino, another one out here up in the upper desert, I think right off of, what is it, Hesperia Road, just north of Bear Valley Cutoff. No, south. Excuse me, south. Anyway, Ron, yes, go ahead. WA6HF.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Hi, Tom. Yeah, I was just going to, same thing that Harold said there. If you look on DX Engineering, they make a lot of stuff for making antennas. They sell aluminum and all kinds of stuff. They have a really neat drilling jig. I think it's only like $100 or something like that. But if you're into building your own stuff, it's pretty cool.
And that is actually, when you get to the fine tuning of making some those special brackets that you need or you want, yes, DX Engineering, great source of components. Maybe there was that one thing you just couldn't fabricate. They have it. And that it gives it that last little touch of professionalism. So anyway, okay, very cool. Anybody else out there, last call for comments, questions, and suggestions?
KJ6RAY.
KJ6RAY. Ray, go ahead.
Hi, Tom. This is Ray. And, yeah, with regards to DX Engineering, I've been getting a lot of antennas from DX Engineering. I tried calculating if I do it part by part, especially the brackets and everything, and it will eventually come out the same as you buy their own antenna. What I did is I did my own. I made my own antenna using a copper pipe from Lowe's or Home Depot with a combination of brass, solid brass rods. I built my 13-element 440 Yagi out of it, and it works very well. Back to you.
I love that too. Copper, really easy to work with. A little pricey. Actually, a little more than aluminum, I think. In fact, everything's gone kind of sky high. Aluminum's pretty stable. Bought some aluminum a year ago. It was $270 a pound for rim, and it's still $270 a pound for rim. Copper's kind of edged up there. New copper, anyway. I'm going to say about 75% increase over the last year, and you know, as a ballpark. But anyway, copper is easy to work with. You can solder it. You can break. You know, you can do all kinds of cool stuff with it. Aluminum is a little bit harder to work with unless you're good with that. There's also some special aluminum brazing procedures using that special aluminum solder, as they call it, but it's actually a brazing process. Pretty cool. A lot of different things to experiment with out there. You know, and that's the whole thing. Sometimes they look complicated until you get out there and do that. And I think, Ray, once you built that, I mean, that's something you're proud of. I mean, you probably had it all planned out, came out looking really nice. And, hey, you know what? If you try, anybody out there is trying to build something, if it doesn't come out right, hey, use the parts for something else, and you don't have to tell anybody. You say, well, that was just an experiment. Now we're really going to do the real one. And that's, of course, a little joke there. Anyway, all right, one more call for comments.
WA6MQF.
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
Roger.
I built two 13-element 2-meter beams, and I bought two Kirschcraft. The four of them make up my EME array, and Bud Wyatt showed me a trick where we just clamped a round piece of pipe against a 2x2, and then we drilled all the holes on the same plane. And then when we slipped the pipes in and out of each other, we adjusted them so the elements were in the same plane, and then we drilled a locating hole to fasten the two boom pieces together. And it was not a problem at all. And mounting the elements, you can buy from Kirschcraft little clips that hold the elements on top of the boom, and they go have a hole through the boom. And then you can, if you didn't get them quite in line, you can give the elements a little bit of a bend here or there. Tom, you've seen us do that, and line them all up. Anyway, that's it. Enjoy building Yagi's KF6Q, WA6MQF.
You know, and I will share with my first experience, I built a Yagi. Of course, we called it a beam back then. And I built a ground plane. And let's see, the ground plane I built was for CB. Ooh, bad word. Okay, but it was CB antenna. I was like 16 years old, and I built a beam before that. Actually, when I was 15, also for CB, and I used electrical metallic tubing. If anybody doesn't know what that is, it's basically metal pipe, very thin wall. In fact, it's called thin wall. It's about 60 thousandths thick wall. And anyway. Not real light, but not real heavy. It's not like water pipe. And bought it up here and built it, and it worked. Incredibly worked. I was surprised. My first thing I ever built. The ground plane used suspended ceiling T-bar stuff. And why did I have that? Well, my dad had it. And I had this 20-foot piece of Unistrut, if anybody knows what that is. And that was my mast. And it stuck in the ground and bolted it to the side of my little, at that time it was my Radio Shack. And it was up there. Of course, my dad says, "Hey, have you seen Tom? You seen that piece of Unistrut?" And I go, "Nope. I don't know where it is exactly. Oh, wait a minute. It could be at my shack." Okay. Anyway, had a lot of fun. They worked. They didn't work great, but you know what? They worked. And I had a lot of fun doing it. Last call, comment. All right, anyway, so, and that's what I did. I was the nerd of the class, but I had fun. I don't care. Anyway, everybody, enjoy out there and look into building your own stuff like that. We'll do this more about other different types in future episodes here. All right. Well, QSD, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. We'll be closing at 1,900 hours and 57 minutes. I want to thank everybody out there who has participated. I want to thank all those guests who have tuned in and listened up here. Bob, thanks for all the help. Jim, also, thanks for all the assistance here this evening. And good we gave Mike the day off for his birthday. I'm sure he appreciated that. So everybody, please come back again next Tuesday right here on the K6B repeater, 1,900 hours. Return the repeater back to normal use, and I'll hang out for a bit. KF6Q.